Broadcasting from First Assembly of God, this is First AG Podcast.
Bible, you can turn with me to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And again, I just want to thank everybody who's here today. And I want to thank all the folks that invited people. I want to thank all the folks who were invited that said yes. We don't really take that lightly. We really treasure the time and the opportunity we have to spend with you. And I hope that today you're blessed. All right, Mark chapter 10, I'm going to be talking about, are you good enough? Are you good enough? And I don't know what that's. I think they got the wrong thingamabob. But let's roll Mark chapter 10. What we're going to do is normally I kind of give you two or three different scriptures. Today I'm kind of going to stick with just one. I'm probably going to mention a couple others, but we're really going to ride this story all the way through our time together, and we're going to ask really one simple question, and then what we're going to do is we're going to let Jesus answer it. How many know that his answer is probably better than ours? On occasion, I'm not saying every time, but on occasion, our answer seems to be what works out best for us. But how many know that Jesus' answer is what really works out best for all of us? And so we're going to ask a question, and the question is this: are you good enough? Can you look at your neighbor and ask him that? Now, if anyone said, "Of course I am," all right. Sometimes if you like lift your hand like in worship and you point, it like just focuses all the stuff towards them. You know, Jesus, they need your work. They need your help. Are you good enough? And the thing is, when you think about that, that is the way that most people, when they think about heaven or hell, am I going to go to heaven? Am I going to go to hell? How do you know where you go and what you do? And I kind of, you know, we live in a world that I say a world, a nation that professes itself as majority believer, but doesn't really live that. And so how do we define what does it mean and how does it work? Am I good enough to go to heaven? And this is the way that people think this and they process when they're talking about heaven or hell, because we'll say, am I good enough to go to heaven? And if I may not be good enough to go to heaven, at least I'm too good to go to hell. I haven't done enough bad to really deserve hell. And anyone who talks to people about faith, you'll have seen this, you'll have heard these things. And as we get into this, you're gonna go, uh-huh. I've heard that. I've seen that. So are we good enough? And the truth is it even possible for us to be good enough to make it to heaven on our own? So let's see what Jesus has to say. All right, Mark 10, 17 to 22, and it says this. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God, or no one is good but one, and that is God." And this is what Jesus said. Listen to this. "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your mother and father," especially today because my parents are here. And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him, said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way. So whatever you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven." And then he calls him, "Come, take up your cross, and follow me." It says, "But he was sad at this word, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." All right, let's pray. Father, help us today. Help us take something as amazing and powerful and as awesome as your word. And Father, drive it into our hearts, drive it into our spirits. Let the Holy Spirit work, that it might sow seed into us, that we might take root and bear fruit with our hearts and our souls. We love you, God, in your name. Amen. I want to give you a couple of observations about this passage. And we're going to walk these things through, and then we're going to go out and we're going to eat some awesome food. Amen? First thought is simply this: good is not good enough. Good is not good enough. This man comes to Jesus. He says, "What must I do?" And I love the fact that the first thing Jesus does to him, he starts quoting commandments to him. "Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not." And he runs through all these commandments, and then the guy says, "You know what, hearing what you're saying, yep, I've done all of these things, God. I'm good. I'm golden. In like Flynn. Right? Winner, winner, chicken dinner. You with me? This guy hears the commandments that Jesus tells him, and in his mind, he's just checking them off and saying, I've done it, I've done it, I've done it. And I haven't just done it like in the last month or two. I've done these since I was a youth, since I was a young man. Now, this story in Mark chapter 10 is also recorded in Luke 18 and Matthew 19. And I want to read this part from Matthew 19, 16. It says this, and behold, one, talking about the rich young ruler, comes to him and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And again, what good thing? Again, it seems like the focus is on what will I will have to do more good in my life than bad in my life. And if I live a life that I've done more good than bad, then I'm going to be okay. Is good enough good enough? Because that's what this man is processing. And if you talk to people who really don't understand the heart of the Bible, or people who aren't yet believers, and you ask them, you know, what do you need to do to go to heaven? Almost every time, seriously, I would say don't do it, you know, after church today when you go sit down and eat, but we're going to be here and hopefully we're all good, right? So next Sunday, ask your waiter, say, hey, do you know the Lord? I always do this. I love it. Waiters have to come back to you. You know what I mean? It's like a captive audience. It's like witnessing in an elevator. I've told you this. It's a win-win. Great line. You get in the elevator, doors closed, look at the guy, going, you going up or you going down? You know, you're in. It's just a winning thing. And you'll hear things like this. Well, I try to be a good person. I try to be kind and nice to people. I try not to do things that are bad. And I feel like, you know, I may not be a perfect person, but I'm not as bad as other people I know. I hear that one a lot. I mean, I'm an okay guy, but see that waiter over there? Yeah, y'all need to pray for him. They throw each other under the bus. It's fantastic. Things like that. I think my goods outweigh my bad. Like, God has this scale in heaven, and when you go to heaven, you kind of, all your good goes on one end and all your bad goes on the other end, and as long as the good tips the scale, you make it. What good thing must I do? It's in our spirits today. It's in the rich young ruler's life in that moment. What good thing must I do so that I might have in? I hope that I will be good enough to get in. These are the excuses that we hear and the things that are said all the time. So this man says, what good thing must I do? And Jesus tells him immediately, there is no one good but God. In other words, the only one who is good enough to go to heaven is God. He's the only one good enough. Look at your neighbor and say, you're not God. Look at your other neighbor and say, I thought God would be taller. There's only one. Only one is good enough to go to heaven, and that is God. Now, here's the thing. While we aren't saved by good works, I want you to know we're saved for good works. Once I am saved, there's a lot of good in this world to do. There's a lot of love to give and encouragement and blessing people and lifting people and encouraging people and living out Christ in a way that people see Christ in us. We have a life that we can live like that that makes a difference. But while I'm not saved by good works, I am saved to do good works. But the truth is, we can't be good enough. And because of this, the rich young ruler decides to go down the road of being good enough. Jesus decides to go down the line and watch what he does. Jesus tells the man, well, you know the commandments, and then he names several of them. Now, if you look at your Bible and for a moment, how many commandments did Jesus name? He named six. Now, I don't know about your Bible, but my Bible has 10. And so what happened? He says, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your mother and father. And there's 10 in the Bible I read. You see them in Exodus and you see them in Deuteronomy. So why didn't Jesus name them all? Maybe it was a long day. Oh, come on. I mean, how many of you have like 3-4 kids? Listen, end of a long day, we're not even going for names. I can't, you, little pooper, little person, little, you know, just, yeah, you know, and, you know, maybe Jesus was just a long day, and he's like, you know, hey, not this, and say, yeah, just go with those, you know, maybe he forgot, I don't know what happened. I know he gave 10, maybe he couldn't remember the other four, but the thing is this, when you look at the 10 commandments, I'm going to tell you why, there's really a reason, is the first four commandments have to do with man's relationship with God. The last six commandments have to do with man's relationship with man. And so Jesus answered the man. Actually, later on they asked Jesus, hey, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? He said, well, there's not one, there's two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength, which is connected to the first four. And then love your neighbor as yourself, which is connected with the last six. So even in all that, Jesus responded. So Jesus is talking to this rich young ruler. He only lists the commandments that have to do with his relationship with man. And if you want to know why, it's because the first commandment, the man had already failed. And his relationship with God, because he had things in his life that he had placed ahead of God that were idols in his life. And you see later on that it was his wealth. Now listen, how many know it's not a sin to be rich? There's nothing wrong with that. I pray the blessing of God over every single one of you. I pray for job. I pray for raises. I pray for promotions. I pray for offices with windows. Whatever would be an encouragement, you know. Sometimes in my office, people say, Pastor, I've been working really hard. I deserve a raise. And so I got to put their desk on blocks. I'm like, there you go. It's raised. Go get them, Tiger, you know. And I'm all for it, and I believe in those things. But here's the thing. He already had a God before God, and that was his possessions. You see, there's none good but one. And it is only God. And this is so hard for us to accept. But Jesus says it this way in Romans 3:12. There is none who does good, no, not one. And do you know why Jesus adds the no, not one? Because he knows us. And if he just came by once and said, hey, guys, there's none good. We say, oh, yeah, you didn't know my grandmama. Listen to me. There's none good. No, not one. You say, Pastor West, what about Mother Teresa? No. Pastor West, what about Billy Graham? No. What about RG3? But after last week's game, no. Is there any good? None. No, not one. And even when I say that today, you feel, honestly, don't you feel a little resistance? Because there's this thing inside of us that loves people and honors people and says, but they were good folks. There has to be something. No. Not one. But Pastor, there was someone who just made a radical difference in my life, and I was lost, and I was empty, and I was headed down the wrong path, and God brought them into my life and I'm saying, God used them, and I'm saved today, and I'm loving Jesus today. My home's in order today. I mean, they have been just an angelic gift to my life. I'm sorry, not them either. There is only one, and that is God. Only one good. And the thing is, we even have degrees of good, don't we? You meet a couple, and you go, well, she was nice, but he was fantastic. Right? You get to know a couple, and you get to know one, and the other one just kind of comes with them. And we have that. We see this with our kids a lot. There's degrees of bad, isn't there? I'm in the living room watching football or something. All of a sudden, I hear, and I open the door, and there's Chase and there's Asher, and both of them look at me. And I look and go, did you hit your brother? And you see the wheels turning. And he kind of stares for a minute. He goes, yes, but it was in the arm and not the face. You see, it's bad, but it's not as bad, right? You with me? So I'm like, bud, well, listen, that's not how we roll in our house. You know, brothers look out for each other. They don't hurt each other. They cover each other. So we're going to address this. And have you ever had one of those childs that needs to tell you something? You know, they're about to be disciplined. It's like, wait. I'm going to tell you something. I want to tell you something. And they get all fidgety. You got one of those fidgety? That, I want to tell you something. Well, I'm sorry. But bring it on. You know, he goes, I love you. I just want to say, I love you. And Dad, I know you love me. And I know that you want the best for me. And I appreciate that. I do. And I just want, before, you know, this all happens, I just want to say I love you. I also want to say I have $4. And, yeah, I've been saving it, and I take it out of mom's purse when she's not looking. But it's all, and I would like to give that $4 to you, because you and mom, y'all buy food, our clothes. You run us through McDonald's and stuff. I mean, it's awesome. And so I want to give that $4 to you just for no reason. For no reason. Just because I think you're being awesome. And finally, I would just like, I'd like to hug you. And I just want to hold you for like 3 hours. And it works out well. I mean, he got disciplined and I made $4. Listen, good is not good enough. We want to feel that. We want to believe that. We want to think in our head, if I do more good than I do bad, then I'm going to make it, and it's going to work, and it's going to be good. But God answers that question for us, and he says, there is none good, no, not one. And I know we feel resistance in that, because our flesh wants to feel like we've earned it. But we cannot earn this, all right? Good is not good enough. Another observation I have is simply this. God requires total commitment. Look at your neighbor and say, God wants all of you. God wants all of you. I want you to think about this. Jesus is naming the commandments to this guy, and this guy in his mind is just checking them off as Jesus is saying them. Done, 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 done. All six of them. This guy's getting to the end of the list, and he's thinking, hey, this is looking really good. I really got a shot at this. I've done all this, so I must be okay. And then Jesus hits him up. Well, there's just one thing. This guy's got to still, even after this one thing coming, I still got to feel pretty good because I've got everything lined up. There's just one thing. I want you to go sell all that you have and give it to the poor and then take up your cross and follow me. God's like, what? Excuse me? Is this negotiable? Jesus, how about, here's what I'll do, God. I realize I'm lost. I realize I need you in my life. I know that I need something in my life because I'm looking for something. But how about this? Instead of all, how about I commit to 2 Sundays a month. I'll serve in nursery once. But I get every federal holiday off and weekends. You ever try to negotiate with God? See, we want a counteroffer all the time. Y'all have heard me this year say this phrase 100,000 times. Hear him and obey him. Don't complicate it. God speaks and we go, I'd like to counteroffer that. Instead of doing this, I'll go here, but I'll do it with a smile. How about that? Jesus said, sell everything you have, take it and give it to the poor, take up your cross and follow me. I want to ask you something. I want to ask this question. I don't want you to answer it out loud, all right? But answer it in your spirit. Here's the question. Would you give everything away to go to heaven? Would you give everything away to go to heaven? Now, let me ask you a better question. Have you? Because aren't we called to follow him? To deny ourselves? We're called the same thing. And I don't literally mean giving all of your assets away. I mean, who's the owner of them? I mean, understanding that everything that I have in my life, whether it is a little, whether it is a lot, all of it belongs to God. God gave it to me. He's the owner. I'm just a steward of it. I'm a steward of my wife. I'm a steward of my children. I'm a steward of our vehicles. I'm a steward of our finances. I'm a steward of it. None of it's really mine. Have you given everything to God? Because God requires total commitment. Now, here's the thing. If you're a guest here this morning, I want to release you from this next 2 minutes of this talk. Now, if you're a regular attender, I want you to listen up. I don't want to offend anybody. But isn't it funny how people who have given everything to God can wrestle giving 10% to God? So I want to ask you another question. I don't want you to answer it out loud. Did Jesus tell this man that he had to sell everything and give it to the poor to go to heaven? That's not what he said at all. That is not what he said at all. Mark 10, 21, Jesus, looking at him, loved him, said to him, "One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then he gave him the call, the challenge, come, take up your cross and follow me. See, this man had to do the same thing that you and I have to do today, in that we take up our cross and we follow after Jesus. If you want to be a disciple of Christ, if you want to be a follower of Christ, if you want to be someone that says, I've given my all to him, I'm going to reflect him to this world. He's my Savior. I'm lost without him. He lives in my heart. Jesus, work in me and through me and let the world know that you're alive because I'm here. If that's what you've got to do, we have to take up our cross and follow after him. Matthew 16, 24, then Jesus said to the disciples, you'll love this, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow after me. Can you look at your neighbor and say, I'm an anyone? Because that's what it says. If anyone desires, the rich, the poor, the healthy, the sick, the strong, the weak, the lost, the found. If anybody wants to be after him, deny themselves, take up the cross and follow him. So here's what Jesus did for the man. He said, to go to heaven, you need to take up your cross and follow me. But in order to take up your cross, you need to deny yourself. And the place that you need to deny yourself is in your possessions. Because you love that stuff more than you love me. So the thing is this, what Jesus was telling this young guy was this, here's what's stopping you from making a life-changing decision, a game-changing decision. And it's the same for all of us. We have to take up our cross and follow after him. But before we do, we have to deny ourselves. And the thing that was stopping the rich young ruler was all of his stuff. Listen, what's stopping you today? Maybe it's not wealth. What if you were hurt in the past? And you know what? You just can't get past that and give your all to God. What if it's a sin in your life? What if it's something? You know what? Hey, I love Jesus on Sunday and at least 3 or 4 days a week, but there's a couple days a week, I just kind of go out and do my thing. What if it's an attitude? What if it's a habit? What is the thing that's stopping you from giving all, taking up your cross, and following him after him? If anyone desires. You see, God wants total commitment. Number three, as Jesus loved him. Jesus loved this young man. Mark 10, 20, and then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. I love this. Jesus loved him enough to tell him the truth. If you're surrounded with friends that just laugh and agree with you, those are okay friends. But if you're surrounded with people who will look at you and say, man, your attitude is terrible. You need to get your heart right. I love you, and I'll walk with you. But your attitude is terrible. Those are great friends. I mean, no, we need people like that in our life. Jesus loved this man enough to tell him the truth. He confronted him right where he was, right in that moment. I want you to know, Jesus loves you enough to tell you the truth. Scripture tells us that the man walked away sad, but here's a cool thing. We're going to get into something. You're going to like this. Verses 23 to 27, Mark 10. Jesus looked around and said to the disciples, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of heaven? Now, here's the thing. Please don't exclude yourself from this verse. Because automatically we think, oh, people with money, it's hard to get for heaven. Yeah, it must be nice. Can I tell you that the majority of the world thinks you are filthy rich? And so we can't disconnect ourselves from this verse. Oh, Pastor, I'm just barely making it. My car's old. Yeah, but you have a car. Pastor, I go home and I'm on the kids all the time not to take long showers. Oh, you have running water in your house. First world problems. The world considers you wealthy. And so I read a verse, I can't discount myself from this, all right? And then he goes on to say this, and the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And listen, the disciples were greatly astonished saying among themselves, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Do you know why I think the disciples were a little, it says they were astonished and they were greatly astonished. Do you know why I think? I don't think the disciples were as poor as we think they were. When Jesus went and he called Peter and John, what were they doing? They were fishing. From whose boats? Their boats. Not boat. Boats. And they were casting a net. They were casting nets. All right? Multiple boats. Multiple nets. Jesus called them. They had hired servants who still were working. One of them was a tax collector, and we all know how that works. They had some wealth. They left it all and they followed him. And Jesus says, guys, listen, it's tough for someone with riches to go to heaven. And the disciples are astonished and their response is, who then can be saved? But what Jesus is saying in all of this about the rich men to heaven and the camel going through the eye of the needle is simply this: you can't save yourself. It is impossible for you to save yourself. You need a Savior. And the only way for you and I to be saved is through him, because we can't do it in our own accord. With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Why? Because he's a Savior. He's a Savior. That's who he is. So we've had three good points, I hope, this morning. One, good is not good enough. That's the bad news. Because all of us in here, we come to the realization, realize I can't do it on my own. I need a Savior. I need Jesus. The third point was Jesus loves him. That's great news. The second point, God requires total commitment, is kind of the bridge that takes us from the bad news to the good news. All right, you with me? So here's the thing. There are a couple of misconceptions about this portion of Scripture that we're going to close with very quickly. Then we're going to go out. We're going to eat some good food. All right, I've already kind of covered one. The first one is that Jesus told this man he had to sell all his stuff to go to heaven. That's not true. Jesus said you need to take up your cross and follow me. That's what Jesus said you got to do to go to heaven. Same for him, same for all of us today. The second misconception is that when Jesus said, go sell all you have, deny yourself, take the cross and follow me, the misconception is that the man didn't. Scripture never really says. It says he walked away sad, but wouldn't you? It doesn't really say that he didn't do it. It doesn't say that he did do it. We really don't know. We just assume because the man was sad that he went away and said, I can't, I love this stuff more than I love God and all of these things. So we assume that, but Scripture never really says whether he did or didn't. So here's the monkey wrench in the whole thing. In historical documents of the day, we know of a man that did this. A man who was considered very rich and very wealthy, who sold all that he had in the same time frame and gave it all to the poor. It was referred to by Josephus Ben Curion, who was the church historian of that day. While it's not in Scripture, you see it in a lot of historic documents about that time frame. And Josephus, who was a historian of the day, called this guy the richest, youngest ruler. That's the words that he used. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all say he was rich. Matthew says he was young, and Luke says that he was a ruler. So Josephus writes of a man called the richest, youngest ruler. He was the youngest ruler in all of the Sanhedrin. Some believe that the person he was writing about was his brother. Well, stick with me here. His brother's name was Nicodemus. You ever hear about Nicodemus in the Bible? So Nicodemus, Ben Curion, who in John 3 comes to Jesus by night, Jesus tells him he needs to be born again. Nicodemus calls Jesus teacher, which is not used a lot in the New Testament, but yet it's the same word that was used in Mark 10 when it spoke of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and called him teacher. So the same word used in the same place. All right, used in Mark chapter 10. John 3, he comes to Jesus. John 7, he stands before the Sanhedrin. He defends Jesus. In John 19, Nicodemus shows up at the tomb to help care for the body of Christ. But where did they lay the body of Christ? Who can tell me? They put him in the tomb of Joseph Arimathea. Here's my thing. If Nicodemus was so rich and he had all of this stuff, why didn't he offer his tomb? Because he sold all that he had and he gave it away. And so Joseph of Arimathea, who was actually very close, offered his tomb, which is a great deal. It was only used for 3 days. Right? You can see it on Craigslist, tomb for sale, practically brand new. Right? This is all good stuff. So if Nicodemus was a rich man, why didn't he put Jesus in his? Because history tells us that Nicodemus sold everything that he had, he gave it to the poor, and he became a disciple of Jesus. It is proven in history that he was kicked out of Sanhedrin because he professed faith in Christ. Now, I want to be very, very clear. I am not 100% saying that Nicodemus is the rich young ruler. I am saying that there are a lot of things that line up with that being the case, and there are some folks who believe that he was, and there's others who say he wasn't. So I'm not saying it is absolutely true, but I am saying this. We know that he became a believer. He sold everything he had, and he followed Christ with all of his heart, all of his soul, and all of his mind. Now, one day, I'm going to go to heaven, and I'm going to ask Nicodemus if it was him. But my question to you this morning, I'm going to close with this. It says, have you given everything to God? Are you totally committed to God this morning? Because if you're not, then you can't really deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow after him. You've got to say, God, I'm all in. And then we can take up our cross and follow after him. Good enough isn't good enough. God wants all of you. And you need to know this morning, God loves you. He's for you. He makes a way for you. He wants to be your Savior. And I don't care how much you have or how much you don't, it's impossible for us to save ourselves. There is but one that is good, and that is God, and he wants all. Even when you struggle, he loves you. Some of you here this morning, you know what, you're trying to figure it all out. I love Jesus, and I'm just trying to he loves you, even when you struggle. He wants all. Can I get you to bow your heads this morning?
If you'd like to learn more about living a life in Jesus Christ or would like prayer, please contact our church office at area code 703-548-0339.